Good morning, White Inch. I'm Andy Reid, and I serve the leadership and you in supporting ministry and mission here. Our passage this morning is from Luke 4, 1 to 13. Luke chapter 4, 1 to 13, and Brian is reading that for us.
So this is Jesus' temptation, Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus left the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone." So he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, "I will give you their splendor and all this authority, because it has been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you then will worship me, all will be yours." But Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So he took him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you, and he will support you with their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not test the Lord your God." After the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. Amen.
We all have a route we have each taken to arrive at the present altitude of our lives. A route we may have chosen and planned so purposefully, or perhaps like me, a route that has apparently just happened as we have lived a life attempting to keep on the path Jesus has marked out for us. We might call this route of our lives our testimony and our destiny. In our reading today, Jesus has considered one question. What does he want his testimony to be? What does he need to do the one thing he has come to do? The will of his Father. Jesus had to decide which route to take as he began his ministry. So the Spirit led him off, and for nearly 6 weeks, he took a walk on the wild side. And our salvation depended on the outcome. Let's pray if we can. Thank you, Lord, that you so loved your Heavenly Father. You so loved us earthly creatures that in life you chose the harder route, proving that nothing is impossible with you, Lord. Help us in this season, through your word and with your Spirit, to do likewise. Amen. Jesus has this moment. It's a pivotal junction in history, and he will have several more of these in his life on earth. But he has this moment when he has to decide his route. He's being tempted to the point of breaking, and the future of humanity hangs in the balance. What does he need to do the one thing he has come to do? We at White Inch are faced with crucial decisions all the time, particularly in this season to come, when we have to navigate forward, planning our climb, when comfort and settled seems so attractive, and we are tempted to defer hard choices when the future of so many around us is in the balance. What's the covenant guarantee that's always available to us? The Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. We read in Isaiah 59:21, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my Spirit, who is on you, will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants, from this time on and forever, says the Lord. Jesus, full of the Spirit, is extraordinarily filled up with the Spirit at his baptism, and with his heart full of God's word, he fills his encounter with Satan with both word and spirit. And it's no contest. Notice that Satan is full of God's word, but empty of God's spirit. So we know what happens, what's bound to happen, don't we? Too much word and not enough spirit, and we puff up with pride. Too much spirit and not enough word, and we blow up. With the word of God and the spirit together, we grow up. And so it is with churches, new and old. We have to be very careful to avoid the temptation of preferring one over the other. Word and spirit need to be held in careful, tested balance. Jesus resisted these temptations because he chose and stuck to a better route. His route was the word and the spirit. These two are the resources, the route map for our Christian living, because it's what Jesus used. Our story and the temptations of Christ can be found in Matthew's Gospel and touched upon briefly in Mark. But remember, Luke has this primary purpose in including it in his Gospel. Jesus is the Saviour Messiah who shows his people a new route into the inheritance of a new land, the kingdom of God, a way of repentance, of salvation and discipleship. We each have our own route, our own path. Joe and I have largely spent our Christian lives in independent churches, and to be honest, it was a shock discovering 12 years ago that God was asking me to become a minister in an institution. An institution I felt was largely damaged below the waterline. Before that, I worked across denominations and non-denominations, helping to disciple others, working with other leaders in discipleship training. I was helping unemployed men rehabilitate back to work. I was helping research faith communities in the southwest of England for the Church of England. Before that, we were missionaries with the Assemblies of God from America in the Balkans. And before that, I washed cars, if the owners let me pray for them first. In my spare time, of course. Looking back, I can see a clear, if unpredictable, route for us, for me. It's part of my testimony, part of our testimony, and we each have that story, that chosen route, and we have one that's ongoing, of course. Jesus had one. We see a snapshot of part of that in our reading today. Jesus, of course, had slightly more weight attached to his story of obedience. Have a look at these people. See if you can work out what they're up to. Those sharp-eyed among you would have spotted that these men and women are climbers, and they're rehearsing their chosen route up a climbing wall before they actually climb it. Climbing outdoors, their lives might depend on choosing the wisest route, the safest route. And we each, like Jesus, need to know, rehearse, and then live out our route to doing God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus has just been baptized and publicly approved and announced. After identifying with sinners in his baptism, Jesus must now decide how to fulfill God's messianic commission for him. What is his best, wisest, father-honoring route forward, and how could he prepare for it? He recognizes the three options put to him by Satan. He recognizes them, sees through them, sees them to be second best, a second best roadmap. That is, they are temptations precisely because in each case they contradict, they oppose God's word. If you are the Son of God, if you will worship before me, if you trust and take the leap. Satan is a slippery customer. He appeals to Jesus' overwhelming desire to fulfill his calling. And the Prince of Darkness tries to make it easy for him. Here's the easy route, Jesus, the route that won't cost you as much as the one you think to be right. Let me guide you. Let me help you. These temptations would have worked to some extent, although Jesus, of course, would have had to serve the Prince of Darkness. But Jesus rejects each of these courses, and instead he chooses the far harder route of crucifixion, so that through his sacrifice we can have salvation. Which is why Satan keeps having a go at Jesus. The fourth and final temptation is to prove to himself to the world by coming down from the cross. Luke places this in chapter 23 in terms of salvation. Save yourself is expressed three times by the very people that he was coming to save. In other words, all of humanity. The people and the rulers, they cried from the crowd, save yourself. The soldiers, they mocked him, save yourself. And the criminals on the cross, they turned to him and said, save yourself. And he saved us instead. He identified with us in his baptism. He identified with us in the temptations. And he identified with us in his suffering. Hebrews 4, verse 15 tells us, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. In Luke 4, verse 2 and verse 13 of our passage this morning, the Greek word for completed and completed every temptation for the way that Satan and Jesus interacted, that usually implies not just the end of an event, the end of the temptations, but its fulfillment, their fulfillment. The noun is always used in the New Testament in eschatological contexts, in final day contexts. It was the fulfillment. It was helping Jesus to be fulfilled in his mission. The idea here may be that the 40-day period of temptation was designed for a particular purpose in the life of Christ. And it's the same for us. The Holy Spirit leads us into seasons of wilderness, as well as seasons of green pastures, both individually and as a church. And we simply have to choose our route through these seasons. One thing was clear. Jesus was beginning to starve to death. To tempt a man with food who had fasted for nearly 6 weeks seems tough. Yet God allowed it because he knew that Jesus knew the safest route and therefore could endure it all. And in Corinthians we read that God never allows us to be tempted beyond our ability to resist. God will never allow us to be tempted beyond our ability to resist the temptation. Remember, Satan is not stupid. He will not continually put his limited resources into an ineffective battle. If we want Satan to leave us alone for a while, we must continually resist him. And by resisting so little in our lives, when we're at our weak points, we invite further attacks and temptations. We all have a route we have each taken to arrive at the present altitude of our lives, a path Jesus has marked out for us. We might call this route of our lives our testimony. In our reading today, Jesus has considered one question. What does he want his testimony, his own testimony, to be? What does he want his story to be? What does he need to do the one thing he has come to do, the will of his Father? It's a question Whiteinch Church is facing right now. What do we need to do the one thing we have come into existence to do? We need to work that out. We need to know how we're going to enact it. How are we going to get there? We each, like Jesus, need to know and rehearse and then live out our route, our way to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven, our calling. With the Word and Spirit, we have the map. We have the tools. We have the weapons. We have the way. Let's pray. Father, we deeply thank you for your Word and your Spirit. Strengthen us, guide us and protect us as we place our lives, our loved ones and our community into your loving arms for such a time as this. Enable us to hear you and serve you, trust you and walk with you as we seek out our root in you. And in your name we pray this. Amen. This morning as we close, remember those struggling with health and vitality at this time. Pray for them and Deborah as she ministers. Chat with each other and the elders, Shona Campbell, Shona Sterling and Claire Young. Chat to them about this unexpected and uncertain future that we as a church are facing, and place the unknown outcomes of this season where God can bless them and all will be well. So the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.